That'll leave time for questions. So good morning. So as Ken said, I'm here to talk about encouraging all you students to go as far as you can with your math and science in your high school program. I think most people are familiar with the idea of left brain, right brain theory, that you know, one part of your brain is responsible for certain things and the other side is responsible for other things. So the one side of your brain is primarily responsible for the language, creativity, intuition, and emotions. The other side is primarily responsible for logic, reasoning, analysis, and mathematics. And most people tend to use one side more than the other. So I'd like to get a show of hands here. How many people think that they use their language and creativity and that sort of side of their brain more than the mathematical? So hands up. Okay. How many people think that they use their analytical mathematical side more than the other? Okay. And how many people think they have just the perfect balance between the two? Yeah. Okay. Well, my goal this morning is to make the case that we all can and should strive to be whole-brained people, not just left or right-brained. After all, left or right is, well, just half a brain, right? We want to be whole-brained people. In my experience over 10 years of homeschool facilitating, I find that more emphasis is placed on developing the language and the creative side of the brain by the average family. So if you see people walking around like this, or like this, it's because one side of their brain is a little heavier than the other. What we want to do is get it into the middle, where we got a good balance between the affective and a good balance between the mathematical, analytical, and the other side. I find also that, especially at high school, the higher levels of science and math, the ones that do exercise and develop the logical side of the brain, are often relegated to the proverbial back burner or left out of the program altogether sometimes. Science and math are important for a well-rounded education. After all, if you take a look at the centuries-old classical model of education, it includes the study of math and astronomy. And of course, astronomy would have been the popular science of the day back, hundreds of years ago. The study of math and science does develop the logical side of the brain. It does for your brain what a good workout at the gym does for your body. So when you're studying math and science, you can just hear the weights going inside, just developing those neurons in your brain. You can imagine a person that was going to work out in the gym, if they only pumped weights and using their right arm and their right leg, after a while they'd look pretty funny, wouldn't they? So we want to be exercising both sides of our brain. And I'm trying to make the case that we were already exercising the one side well, we just need to work on more of the mathematical, analytical side. So what more does math and science do than develop that side of your brain? I think it really inspires curiosity. It gives you a broad base of knowledge. And just to quote Proverbs 18:15, an intelligent mind acquires knowledge and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So we need to seek knowledge. It helps us to use logic to explain and predict, design and create. And just as an aside for you young ladies, it may help you to understand your future husband better. Since most, well, maybe not most, but the stereotype is that men are more analytical, mathematical. So study math and science and you'll understand them more. But most importantly, I think math and science gives us more insight into the wonder and awesome complexity of creation and the creative genius of God. All heaven declares the glory of God, and whether we study the vastness of the universe or the tiniest subatomic particles, the fingerprint of God is there. Albert Einstein once said, "I want to know God's thoughts. All the rest is merely details." But it's through the details that we can catch a glimpse of the thought that went into all creation. Some parents who are here still have young children at home. If you haven't already started, you should be encouraging them to dust creation for God's fingerprints. That's what science is, dusting creation for God's fingerprints. And because of that, it makes it interesting. Science is intrinsically interesting. And we need to encourage our young people to find topics that they find exciting. Kind of makes me remember the old Dr. Seuss Horton heard a who, you know, the who's are crying out, I'm here, I'm here. And I think God is crying out to us in his creation saying, I'm here, I'm here. Look at what I've done here and see my glory through this. Whatever age your children are, teach them to always ask how come. Don't be afraid to seek knowledge and understanding together. When they ask questions about any topic, I always turn it around to my kids if they ask anything and say, what do you think? And then after hearing what they have to say, let's go find out together. So I think those three things, if you write those down, I think are the key to helping to instill a love of learning about God's creation through science and math. How come? What do you think? Let's find out. Start doing that with your little kids, and by the time they get to high school age, if they already haven't started doing it, they'll start to really love learning about these topics. When we teach children to engage their minds and actively seek understanding, they will derive more pleasure from their learning. Proverbs 18:2 states that a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. How many people know people like that? That must mean that the converse must be true, that wise people should find joy in seeking and finding truth. Again, in another Proverb 19:2, it states that it is not good for a man. Actually, I was going to say, complete the verse. It is not good for a man to be. The usual one is alone, but Proverbs 19:2 says it's not good for a man to be without knowledge. It's clear that God wants us to use his gift of our intellect to the best of our ability. Remember the parable of the talents. He wants us to be full-brained people. Now, seeking and finding truth, knowledge, and understanding is education in the purest sense, but we also live in a technological age where knowing how come has its practical benefits. A solid foundation in math and science can open the door to opportunities in a wide variety of fields where homeschooled graduates can exercise leadership and make real changes in the world. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. We are called to influence the world for the better. Unfortunately, the world of science, medicine, and technology is where we face some of our biggest ethical problems. And we need upstanding people who know the truth to lead and influence in these areas. Now, onto the practical part. Science and math can be difficult subjects for students to master at the high school level. Most find courses in math, biology, chemistry, and physics difficult to learn on their own, and many parents are intimidated by them or have no experience with them themselves. And I think that's likely why a lot of students end up not doing these courses through high school, is because maybe parents don't feel comfortable with the topics. Some kids are able to work independently and learn these subjects totally on their own, and that's great. But most people need help to some degree. And it's because of this that we, last year, started a math and science online tutorial group where Wisdom students who are studying math and science can actually get together with other students online or in face-to-face and have regular tutorial help as well to get through the most difficult concepts. We use common workbooks that everybody works through at the same time, so everybody's on the same page. Again, the more independent students are able to work through this on their own with little help or working with a friend. Some kids find that they need more involvement. You know, some kids just need more direct instruction and someone to be there to guide them through a little bit more. So in that case, you know, a parent or a friend or somebody who knows the subject material is, you know, it's nice if they can have somebody there to help them out. But the tutorials that we've set up are really, I think, working well. I think the kids are basically opening their mind to see what's out there, and even those who are struggling with it are seeing the benefit of it and kind of getting that wow factor about, oh, that's really cool how that works. One thing we're doing as well is for those who do want to have credentials in math and science, what we're doing through the tutorial program is preparing the students to be able to actually write the diploma exams for Alberta at the end if they so desire. The books that we're using are basically Alberta materials. Castle Rock Research is the company that makes the key. They also put out student notes and problems workbooks that they have for all the science courses and math as well. And so we work through the workbooks, and then for the 30 levels, we work through the key to prepare them for the exams. For math, right now we're using a resource that comes from BC. It's Theory and Problems for Grade 12 Math. It covers the same curriculum, even though it's from BC. It does cover Alberta math curriculum as well, because it's the same across all the Western provinces. Basically these books are inexpensive resources that provide reasonably good explanations of the concepts, lots of examples, and then lots of examples and problems to work through. So I'm going to be at the table at the back, and so if there's more questions on the specifics about how the tutorial thing works, I'll be there to answer questions. If anybody has any questions now, I don't know, is there any time left? Where's Ken? Any questions while we're here, I guess, while we're waiting for Ken to come back? Yes?
Can you explain a little bit the tutorial?
Okay, the way we're doing it this year is that let me just go back to in the fall, I'm handling the chemistry and physics courses. There's Evan Feet, who's another homeschooling dad, is doing the math program. So I'll just talk about the science, how that works. We started in the fall doing the grade 11 level, the introductory level to both chemistry and physics, and you can sign up for one or the other or both. And we've worked through that, and now we're just starting into the grade 12 level. There's an assignment that they get every week. They basically get a schedule of what they need to cover by a certain time. And every Monday morning we get together online, and the kids bring their questions on whatever they found the most difficult, and we can discuss the most difficult concepts online every week. The other thing that we try to encourage is that they get to know each other, even though they're all over the province. They can, kids have ways of getting together either online or MSN or by phone or in person, so that they can work together. I think science and math, if you don't discuss it and talk about it and work together with somebody a lot, it's hard to do on your own. It's important. I always used to tell kids, whatever you learn, tell somebody about it. And if you don't have anybody to tell, go home and tell your dog. Because it's through explaining things to others that you really come to a better understanding yourself. Yes? Therese, I think we're charging $135, I think, for the tutorial. That would be per course. And so, for the grade 11 level, the grade 12 level will be another separate course.
So will you do the same thing again next year?
That's the plan. Yeah, so with the science, we're doing the grade 11 and 12 levels both in the same year. With math, we're finding that it's just a bigger course. And we're taking a whole year to go through it. So right now, Evan's got a math 20 group going and a math 30 group going. Yes?
The students that are working through right now, CAM 30, are some of them planning on writing the diploma in June, or are they?
I have to repeat the question.
Right. Okay. The question was for those working through CAM 30, for example, would they be writing the exam in June or some other time? Most of them would probably choose to write it in June. That's the plan, is to have them ready by then. Now, obviously, some may not feel ready and may either decide not to write it or write it at a later date. Yes?
Biology.
We haven't been doing biology. We've found that biology is one of the courses that most kids seem to be able to do on their own without a lot of extra help. It's more terminology and concepts as opposed to mathematical. The chemistry and physics is more mathematical, and that's why I think kids need more help with it. Yes?
What you just said doesn't fit with what we just heard about biblical worldview, Christian worldview. How do you deal with secular material, biblical worldview, and high school science?
Okay.
Question.
The question is, how do you deal with the idea that secular materials and a biblical worldview don't mesh very well? In my experience, there are very few topics in the science curriculum that wouldn't fit into a Christian worldview. In chemistry and physics in particular, I really can't think of anything in the course material that would be controversial, although there can be issues that are in those areas. The big area would be in biology, where you get the evolution, you get all the ethical and moral issues. The way I look at it is that we have, our children need to be in the world. These are almost adults at the time that they're going through high school, and they need to be conversant with what the world thinks. And I think my own opinion is that if we shelter them from what the world thinks, they're going to be in for a real rude awakening when they get into the world. And so by, under our authority, talking about what other ideas are out there, we are able to actually prepare them to better deal with that when they do actually encounter it in the world. And so I think by looking at, for example, understanding what evolutionists believe and why, it should give them a better understanding, give them a more reason to believe what they believe and more ability to be able to counteract the evolutionist arguments, as opposed to just sort of not talk, if you don't talk about it at all, and then they meet somebody who has a compelling argument for evolution, well then, what do you do? You know, they're going to maybe be swayed by that. Yes? I think just speaking the question. Oh, yeah, sorry, I have to repeat the question here. What Christian materials would be cover the equivalent material? I think in the area of chemistry and physics, which is my area that I'm familiar with the most, most programs cover the same material. And again, I think most of the topics are not going to be controversial at all. What I find, though. And this goes back to the question that was asked earlier about, you know, how do we ascertain what kind of mark people get? I find that what's covered in the courses can be the same content, but covered at different levels, and the questioning that's asked in the various programs can be vastly different. Last year I gave the example of someone who studied the J. Weil chemistry, which is a Christian chemistry course. He does a great job of explaining the concepts, but he does a lousy job of asking questions that really engage a student's mind. I had a student who worked through that, was doing the questions at the end of the chapter, is getting 95% on everything he did, and then he wanted to write the diploma exam for Chemistry 30, and when he did that, he started working through the key for Chemistry 30, and he was getting 45 to 50% on those questions. So it just didn't prepare him to be able to do the kind of level of questions that would be required for further study at post-secondary. And so that's why I would recommend that the kids would work through these workbooks and study materials that we have here.
Okay. Well, thank you, Joe. Thank you.